Hello, everybody, and welcome to Giant Mess, a super sloppy sports entertainment talk show that covers Giants football, Mets baseball, movies, and TV shows. It's got a little comedy and life lessons mixed in for good measure. It's hosted by a Giant Mess. That's me, the real cinch, Neil Lynch. I'm a former college quarterback and pitcher who's turned into quite the overthinker and one hell of a stinker. Reluctantly and begrudgingly recap and react to the Giants' blowout loss to what many consider to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, the Las Vegas Raiders. I might try and preview the game against the Cowboys. I don't know that it really needs much of a preview. And then we'll finish up with the Metros. The Mets got their new manager. First-time manager, Carlos Mendoza. Not Carlos Mencia, noted joke stealer. And then give my thoughts on Steve Cohen and what he's about to do for that area of Flushing, Queens. So with that, let's get started up in here. I'm going to recap and review the Giants game against the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, which apparently have been regarded as the worst team in the NFL. I don't know how, because we exist and other teams exist that have worse records. I mean, the Raiders are now 4-5. Are they the worst 4-5 team in the history of the NFL? I guess so. You wouldn't know it by Sunday's game. When I did my preview for the Raiders game, Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback, and he sucked on Monday Night Football, overthrowing Davante Adams multiple times. For whatever reason, the offensive coordinator wouldn't call running plays with one of their best players, a top running back in 2022, Josh Jacobs. And Josh McDaniels was still the fucking head coach. All that changed almost right after I recorded and published. It was like, Josh McDaniels is fired at 1 o'clock in the morning. Holy shit. GM is fired. Offensive coordinator is fired. And they move on from Jimmy G. They bench Jimmy G. And they start rookie quarterback Aiden O'Connell. And former New York Giants linebacker Antonio Pierce is now the head coach. O'Connell's a fourth round draft choice out of Purdue. Once, I think a lot of the older Giants fans like myself, the Clem Report, once you hear that combination of things, it's like, we're fucked. Like, even if we're getting back Daniel Jones, Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal, we're screwed. That is too much going against us. Like, we saw it last year with Jeff Saturday and the Colts, not necessarily against us. It wasn't against us, but first game, win, because it's just a change in juju. The Raiders players apparently loathe Josh McDaniels, and for good reason, because he sounds like an asshole, but maybe he's not. I don't know. And so it was like, it's just too much going against us. And I didn't even know this stat. Giants are 0-3 against teams playing their first game after an in-season coaching change. Mwah. You know, I knew that we had a poor history against not just backup quarterbacks, but like third and fourth string quarterbacks. We just can't figure them out for whatever reason. Even though they, it's like there's a reason they're that far down on the depth chart. So, was I shocked or surprised that we got off to a slow start and that we just got, and it was just a pummeling through and through? Not really. I wish I could say different. I mean, if Josh McDaniels is the head coach, if Jimmy Garoppolo is the starting quarterback, if they still have the same offensive coordinator, we win. I feel like we for sure 1,000% win, but nope, all that happened. And, you know, I think normal logical thinking would be like, oh, you know, and a lot of the younger fans probably were like, we're going to run all over them. We're going to crush them. And I'm like, the old heads like me are just like, ah, you know, there's a little thing called history. So I think the most disappointing of all is not Daniel Jones. It's the defense, for sure. I think that was, if I'm surprised at all, it's like the defense really just did not come to play. And maybe that's a case of like Leonard Williams was a bigger loss than we thought, not just on the field where he probably is helping out, taking some heat off of Dexter Lawrence, opening holes for the linebackers, et cetera, but just as a teammate. You know, obviously Dexter Lawrence loved this dude and they were good buddies. And so losing him, maybe he's not at the top of his game psychologically, mentally, emotionally. And then maybe that actually transitioned to the whole goddamn defensive unit because they look slow. They look lost. They looked like apathetic, and it was just like from the very first drive, the Raiders just kind of like had their way with us to the point where they could basically run every single down for an entire quarter and a half, just about, and no worries. Like they had no issue with that. Entering the game against the Raiders, the defense was on a roll. We recorded takeaways in four straight games, held four of our last five opponents to under 300 yards of total offense, allowed a total of 134 rushing yards over the last 2 weeks, surrendered no more than 14 points in three consecutive weeks, and then 30, just a 30 burger on us. Like it seemed like every drive ended in a score just about. So yeah, that's the most disappointing for me because it was like, and I get, you know, you could say like, well, once Daniel Jones goes down, that's it. It's over. But like, how many games have we seen this defense? It almost didn't matter who was playing quarterback for us. I mean, we should have beat the goddamn Jets basically on a defensive performance. Should have beat the Bills based on the defensive performance. If it was just not for that last drive, against the Jets, we almost lost it against the Commanders in the last drive. But like our offense wasn't doing a whole lot against that Commanders team in the second half. So it's like we've seen them outperform and be able to withstand the pressure over the last 3 weeks. And for them to just come out and like, it feels like they kind of rolled over. And, you know, the offense put them in really bad positions. I get it. But like 10 of the points the Raiders scored came off two turnovers. So it's like, all right, you want to like say, take away those 10 points. The defense is really responsible for 20. Still higher than what we're used to. Not that it would have made too much of a difference, although I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. I, in my preview, said that I think the Raiders need to run more. Why don't they run more? They have Josh Jacobs. They should run more. Our run defense stinks. If the Raiders were smart, they'd run the ball. And they fucking did. Jacobs ran for a season-high 98 yards and two touchdowns, while receiver Jacoby Myers added a 17-yard touchdown run. The defense did not record a sack. Fourth game this season in which we did not have a sack. We finished the game with just one quarterback hit, and that was from Micah McFadden, who, according to PFF, is a goddamn all pro. And, you know, I agree that Micah McFadden is playing better this year than last year. I think he's passed the eye test that way. His numbers would prove it. But in the same time, it's like, how are we getting gashed then? What a conundrum. We did not have a takeaway for the fifth time this season. This is the third game this season in which the Giants had neither a sack nor a takeaway. And I think that's, this is probably one of the worst games that defense has played. Dexter Lawrence, Nacho, and A'shaun combined for 10 tackles, 5 solo. Xavier McKinney led the team with 10 tackles, 7 solo. So it seems like Xavier McKinney is on the outs, which is just making comments after the Leonard Williams trade. He made comments earlier. It just sounds like he is saying that the leaders aren't being heard. He's a captain, I believe. And then Andrew Thomas comes out and is like, no, I think we have pretty good communication with the staff. And Dable's like, yeah, I mean, we have positive conversations every week. So I think it's the contract, right? He didn't get the contract extension in the offseason. It escapes me how we didn't trade him along with the Dory Jackson at the trade deadline because Dory Jackson, you know, and not to make light of it, he did have a concussion, but got hurt again. This guy's like plagued by injuries. It just feels like it's the neck, it's the hand, the wrist, the leg, the hamstring, you know. So it doesn't, honestly, I can't see us re-signing Adoree Jackson. And if you can read the tea leaves, my man, doesn't seem like we're going to re-sign X-Man. So why didn't we fucking trade them? And I get it. Maybe you think, oh, we're getting all our starters back. We need our defense. We can't just completely gut our defense. We still want to win games. We still want to be in the playoff hunt. We still think we're capable of it, given the schedule that we have coming up with our offense getting back to 100%. Good Gettleman thing. So that's been a major topic of discussion is like, should Dable and Shane be fired? people saying you can't do this every 2 years. That's just not how you create stability. Of the coaches and GM combinations that have, we've gone through this carousel over the last how many years where it's 2 year stints, McAdoo, Judge, Shermer, Dable and Shane are the best, right? Of that grouping, not saying a lot, but it doesn't mean they're not without mistakes. They've made a lot of mistakes this year, a lot. And maybe they did make a lot of mistakes last year, but we were winning. So they get covered up, right? Offensively, you know, DJ played for what, a quarter? I think he started the second quarter. That's when he got hurt. Completed 4 of 9 passes for 25 yards. He ran twice for 9 yards. You know, the one run he did get pick up the first down, I thought was pretty cool. Getting past Max Crosby, I think. But throwing the ball, he was just so inaccurate and just did not look good at all. So overthrew Barkley, underthrew so-and-so, almost threw a pick. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We like to think, oh, we're getting back the Daniel Jones that we had. Like, he had some time to think in his time off. He's going to come back and he's going to be 2022 Daniel Jones. And it's like, yeah, I don't know that's in the cards. So I honestly thought when he went down and was out for the game, I was like, I think this is like, because I remember him saying, someone saying that the neck injury, the new neck injury means, okay, it came out that he's not 100% pain free, right? So that came out later in the week and everyone started freaking out about it. It's like, why? Wait, so he was cleared for contact before the Jets game, didn't suit up or play in that game. but he's going to start in this game, but yet he's not 100% pain free. Again, which NFL player isn't, but he's also had off for the past 3-4 weeks, however many games it was. So I realized, I was like, this is too many neck injuries, you know, and I thought the worst, which is what I do. And so when he went back to pass, wasn't hit and fell down, they on the replay, it looked like his left foot was like dragging. And it was almost like his left side just stopped working. Like he lost power to the left side of his body. That's what it looked like. And I remember the reports being like, well, he's got his left side. He's either losing feeling in his left side or there's a lot of pain in his left side. I think it was losing feeling. And so that looked like, wow, the left side of his body shut down. He has no electrical signals there. He can't control it. And so literally he's half a person. Like he's going back, his left side stops working, he drags his left foot, he falls down. It reminded me of when Sting came back to the WWE and he's like, I don't know, 60 goddamn years old, wrestling against like friggin' Seth freaking Rollins. Might have been WrestleMania, SummerSlam, a big major main event. And he just like literally just bounces off the ropes and comes and tries to run towards Rollins and can't make it to Rollins. Like he literally falls to his knees and falls on his face because his body just stopped working because he's had so many injuries and he's so old. I guess he's still wrestling in AEW, which it blows my mind. Because I would be like, after that, it's like, I think I'm just going to call it a career. So it felt like something similar to that, where it's like his neck injuries are now at the point where he like literally you can't feel body parts and like you can't play, like you need to retire. So I thought that the entire game, and then I come to find out, no, it was an ACL tear. He tore it when he tried to boot. He scrambled right and Lawrence Cager was in his way and he got spooked by Lawrence Cager, tried to make a cut and his knee buckled. And then he was testing on the sideline. And he's getting questioned, like, are you okay? Are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I can go back and I can play. And it's like, no, you can't. You literally tore your ACL. So is Daniel Jones' career over? Certainly feels like it. Feels like the end of an era, right? It's like neck injuries, ACL tear, especially when mobility, scrambling, and design runs are so much a part of his game and his success and how he helps the team succeed. It certainly feels that way. But for the people that are like, I don't know. I know this makes me delusional, but I looked up, and I tweeted this, I looked up the recovery timeline for a torn ACL. Because I was like, I've had a torn ACL, but I didn't have to get back to any, I had to get back to like, my desk job. You know, it's like I didn't really have to get back to anything physical within a given constraint. So I was like, what is the realistic recovery timeline for like an athlete for an ACL tear? 6 to 9 months. So if you take the over 9 months, that would put him, if he had the surgery, I can't imagine him putting off the surgery. It's like, it's got to be like with athletes, you know, with mine, I had to put it on a waiting list and wait 2 fucking months just to get a goddamn surgery date. Pro athletes, like he'd be done that day. So I'd imagine he got it done like this week or at the latest next week, which means it puts him at returning from that August 6th, August training camp. So, you know, and the people mentioned Wandale Robinson tearing his ACL, I believe in November of last year. It was against the Lions. So it was later in the season when the Lions were starting on their push to the playoffs. They didn't make it, but like when they just went on a tear and went on a winning streak, that was like towards the beginning of that. So it had to be in the second half of the season. I think it was November. Wandale was, I think he suited up for week one, if not week one, week two. So, you know, it does throw a lot into flux, and I get it. But it's, you know, these friggin' people on my timeline have to be 17 years old that are constantly like mock, you know, putting Caleb Williams in a Giants, mocking up Caleb Williams in a Giants uniform, mocking up Drake May in a Giants uniform. And I'm just like, you know, for you to put in all that emotional, for you to get emotionally vested in a fucking top draft pick, I don't want to say it's asinine, but it's like you are pushing awfully hard for that when that's not really the cause of our downfall. Was not Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones had his worst year this year. Very unfortunate, especially after signing such a huge contract, because the dead cap on that contract is astronomical next year. So you're not cutting him. You can't. And the people are like, oh, well, there's an out after 2025 or before 2025 or something like that in the 2025 offseason, before the 2025 season. It's still $22 million in dead cap. So 2024, if we cut him before that season, I think it's like $67, $69 million in dead cap, which is you can't do that. I don't know if there's some kind of injury clause that you can like pull that fucking lever now. Like if there's an insurance out, like whew, hopefully. But yeah, 69, 67 dead cap for 2024, 22 in dead. Like we didn't even like who have we cut that's had that much dead cap? Galladay? How much was Galladay's dead cap? I don't think it was 22 million. I don't think there's anyone that's 22 million in dead cap. I mean, you looked at the when they released Bradbury and Logan Ryan and Blake Martinez, there was a lot of dead cap attached to those three. I think those combined don't equal 22 million. So, or they might have come close. So I don't think they're going to cut Daniel Jones unless there's some kind of injury clause in his contract, which I don't think there is. Here's the thing. I don't think I would mind them drafting a quarterback high. Would I want here's the thing. If you do draft Caleb Williams or Drake May, you still have to address the offensive line, right? So if there is a can't miss offensive line prospect that's available that high, I would want that offensive line prospect. Fix the fucking offensive line. Evan Neal's not your starting right tackle. We know that. Comes back from a left ankle injury. He injured his fucking right ankle. And now he's going to be out for I don't know how long after missing a lot of games last year and missing games this year. So the plan has to be move him to guard, right? Can't have him be your right tackle anymore. It worked with Eric Flowers. I don't know. Maybe it can work for you too. Call 1-800-ERIC-FLOWERS. So yeah, Evan Neal is not the solution at right tackle. I mean, Andrew Thomas comes back at left tackle. He admitted he had one of his worst games and still looks so good on the clips that I see and the replays that I see. It's like he's still like even when he looks like he's beat, he somehow is able to recover and make the block. So nice to have him back. And I really thought, you know, a lot of things were aligning with how they went against the Cardinals, right? We're down big at halftime. but, and you know, the offense looks like kind of shitty in the first half, but maybe we go on another tear and have another big comeback in the second half. It felt like that was almost the feeling in that first quarter when it was like, man, we're getting smoked. We're getting steamrolled. So I still had that in the back of my head. I was like, this is kind of just like the Cardinals game. It's just going to take us a half to like click. We just fucking suck in the first half. And then he went down and I was like, well, nah, okay. Now we have Tommy DeVito. Sweet. DeVito's final stat line isn't horrendous. I mean, 15 of 20, 175 yards. He did throw the one touchdown to Wandale, but he just had those two awful picks. It was the first interception thrown by a Giants QB since October 2nd. That was the Seahawks game. There were 131 consecutive passes by interception. So quarterback play, not great, but not maybe not severely costing you the game. They still cost us some games with some questionable decisions. But DeVito also ran for 17 yards on four carries. I think that might have been overlooked in preseason, that he is kind of mobile. He can evade the rush. The problem with him is that he might be too quick to pull the ball down and scramble. And much like Daniel Jones was doing, I think, at the beginning of the season, as soon as he pulls the ball down, he's looking down, as in he's looking to run, and he's not looking downfield to someone who might be getting open. And he missed a lot of open receivers. So progress, I guess. I mean, he's better than he was against the Jets. I still, you know, I think there are a lot of people that think that he's still, like, they can't imagine him being the starter for the rest of the season because Tyrod went on IR. Jones is out for the season. So they have Matt Barkley from the practice squad. It's like, you know, are you getting excited about that? I don't know. And then I think they just signed Jacob Eason, who maybe played for the Colts or was the Patriots. I don't know. I think he's a Tony Eason's kid, right? Went to Washington. So I don't know. Saquon Barkley rushed for team high 90 yards on 16 carries, caught three passes, 23 yards, 113 scrimmage yards. He has at least 98 scrimmage yards in each of the four games he's played since missing three with a sprained ankle. So Saquon's kind of the, I guess, lone bright spot, right? Mr. Dependable. And it's just like, I don't know. It's a head scratcher that we didn't come out and just pound the rock. You know, three passes on the first drive. Like, what? Like, their run defense stinks, dude. Just run the ball. So, you know, and I think that's, I don't know. Jones missing Hyatt down the deep left. If he just throws it like a yard or two towards the field, that's a touchdown. There are opportunities, but yeah. Giants have scored fewer than 20 points in 8 or 9 games this season and 10 or fewer in 5 of them. Oh my God. We're last in scoring offense and have the worst point differential in the friggin' league. We've been outscored 125 to 42 in the first half. So, yeah. And it does look like we now may have the potential to get Caleb Williams or Drake May. I hated those tweets so goddamn much. Just constantly hitting us with a barrage of, you know, oh, so-and-so won. And like, if we can move up to the third. And it was like, I know we just lost the Jets, but come on, dude. We still, like I put out a video why I still think the Giants can make the playoffs, even though I said that if they lose to the Jets or Commanders, they're basically out. I was like, we're still, considering how other NFC teams are performing, that 7 slot is wide open. Kirk Cousins goes down. So like, you think the Vikings might lose a lot of games and Commanders are looking a little uneven and consistent. And, you know, who knows comes out of the NFC South. There was a lot at play where it's like, as bad as we've been, there's still a opportunity there to run a table or at least go on a run and make it interesting. And now it's like these dullards, these young, dumb, full of cum persona non grata. These people were chirping from the mountaintops about, you know, Caleb Williams and Drake May. And now there's like, you know, people are love to argue, I guess. Caleb Williams like loses in dramatic fashion in Washington, goes, hops into the stands with his mom, covers his face and starts bawling, weeping, crying. And, you know, someone made a comment that I follow there's no crying in New York. And it's like, that's an obvious reference to A League of Their Own when there's no crying in baseball. One of the best scenes in movie history. So, and people took it seriously and they're like, look at Eli crying. Look at the blah, blah, blah crying. Look at this crying. It's like, all right. Yeah. The point is, gun to my head, I haven't watched any of Caleb Williams this year, but I have seen some shit. I have not seen a whole lot of good, although there's some clips where there's been some good play and good performance, but I just don't know enough. So if I had to pull it, like make a decision tonight, I'd say no, don't draft him. I have not seen Drake May play, I don't think, but. And then there's also people wanting to draft another fucking Duke quarterback. I will draw the line there. For sure, 100%, no more Duke quarterbacks, please. I think we're done with Duke quarterbacks. So that's the Giants-Raiders game. I don't know how to preview the Dallas Cowboys game. Giants-Cowboys, Sunday, 4:00, 4:25. I think it's America's game of the week. I hope it isn't. America, do better. NFL, do better. The Cowboys... A lot of people are saying they should have beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. They lost 28-23, but they had a couple of gaffes towards the end of the game there. Eagles are not exactly flying high, which is crazy to say because they're 8-1. It's like they just can't lose no matter how, quote unquote, awful they play. Or, you know, they're not playing up to the level that people thought they did last year, maybe. Like, Hurts is hurt, right? So he's not 100%. They just lost Dallas Goedert. I guess the offense is not exactly clicking like it was last year, maybe. Defense is still pretty legit. I don't know. I still think the Eagles get the one seed and, probably hard to beat. I don't know that there's any other team in the NFC that's going to take them down. I mean, 49ers are faltering. I know they made a trade for Chase Young, right? But Debo banged up. Christian McCaffrey banged up. Brock Purdy, maybe not the same Brock Purdy without Christian McCaffrey or Debo Samuel. So, yeah, I think the Eagles are still going to. But and the Cowboys almost took him down. So, like, the Cowboys, I will say this. Odds are we're going to get fucking trounced. Like, it's going to be bad. But even in our worst seasons where we end up with a losing record and we just look flat out putrid, we always seem to come out with a huge upset win. I don't think it's going to come against the Eagles, which means it would probably come against the Cowboys. And you have. And you should. But it does feel like, 2017, we were garbage. We were trash. Basura. And we beat, the Chiefs, who went to the playoffs. They were, 11-5. We beat them, 12-9 or something like that. 98 against the Broncos. They were undefeated. And we took him down with Kent Graham, right? We might have been 8-8 that year, but it was just our defense carried us. You know what I'm getting at. I mean, there were plenty of really bad nightmarish seasons where we still 2021 didn't turn out that great. I think we beat the Raiders who went to the playoffs. That was an upset, right? So who are we gonna upset? Probably not the Eagles. So also all signs point to the Dallas Cowboys. It's in Dallas. Last year we played them on Thanksgiving, missing half our team and ended up almost beating them on their home turf. We were severely handicapped. So whether it's Tommy DeVito or Matt Barkley or Jacob Eason, maybe DeVito takes another step, he realizes, hey, when I scramble, when I move in the pocket, I don't need to put my head down and run. I can just maybe pick my head up, pick up the open guy, and we get some chunk plays. Stranger things have happened, I guess. What's truly infuriating / kind of awesome, Josh Dobbs getting traded to the Vikings and not knowing any of the names of the players that he's playing with, having to have the head coach / OC explain plays to him over the headset as he's calling the plays, hey, this is the name of the play and this is the read and this is the like teaching his offensive line his cadence before going on the field for the first drive of the game. It's just and pulls out the win. Josh Dobbs, y'all, makes me wonder why we didn't trade for him And that's, you know, that was the main takeaway, was like, man, why couldn't this have happened before the trade deadline? We could now move McKinney, move Adoree Jackson, possibly get Josh Dobbs and have somewhat of a shot at this thing against the Raiders. But no dice. So, but again, Tommy DeVito, maybe he does take the next step. I don't know, dude. 15 of, I know the game was out of hand and the Raiders are probably playing soft, but 15 and 20, 100 and some odd yards. I don't know. It's nothing to sneeze, I ain't. That's you. And then remaining schedule before the bye, at Washington against the Commanders and then home against the Patriots. I have those chalked up as losses. I just can't. Like, my buddy's a Patriots fan. And he was asking me, so are we still going to go this game? Like, because I threw it out there. I was like, it's the weekend after Thanksgiving. I could make it home in time for that game on Sunday. And who knows where I know the Patriots are not the Patriots of old. I know the Giants have really struggled so far in this season, but that could be a key matchup for both of them. And it most likely will be close. And so I think it piqued his interest, but he was like, did we really, Tommy DeVito versus, you know, whatever's left of Mac Jones? So I was like, yeah, you're probably right. So yeah, those are both losses. I think the only win, you know, I think Talking Giants was saying that the only win that they see on the schedule is against the Patriots. I'm like, I'm not putting that in ink. That's for damn sure. You know, Saints, Packers get one more win. So we'll finish 3-14, which should get us a top five pick. Should we spend it on a quarterback? It's like, if you do, every other draft pick has to be offensive line. So that's the Giants. Yeah. Mets talk. Quick, short but sweet. Francisco Lindor was a Gold Glove finalist, I believe, and lost. Bullshit. I think he was also a Silver Slugger finalist and lost. Bullshit. Why can't people give Francisco Lindor his due? He's outperforming the guys who are winning. What is going on? Kodai Senga is the Rookie of the Year finalist. I don't believe in that, right? Because he's got to be, how old is he? 20-something? 29? 30 years old. You can't be Rookie of the Year with a 3 at the front of your age. So, you know, I guess I hope he wins it. It's just like, it feels a little meaningless. It's like, you're 30. And then two more news items. We hired Carlos Mendoza as our manager. So the front runner was Craig Counsell. We all thought it was going to be Craig Counsell. And then Craig Counsell went to the Cubs. And then Vaught, he gets signed by, who is it? Not the Orioles. Padres. No. Guardians, probably. And then we hired Carlos Mendoza, who's a bench coach for the Yankees. I don't know, dude. I'm not devastated by the Buck Showalter firing, but I just, you know, it's like it would have been so fucking sweet to get him his first World Series win. So I was kind of not super resentful and bitter, but I was a little bitter. I was like, yeah, what, but why? Because he had like all these things happen. Like, I don't think he lost the clubhouse. He had guys slumping. Hey, it's so many injuries. Max Scherzer getting suspended. Verlander missing a lot of games to injury. Scherzer missing games due to injury. You know, I don't know. I've now watched two videos about this guy. One from SNY, one from We Gotta Believe. And I don't know, dude. You know, there's like the highlights, the pros. He's bilingual. That's cool. Yeah. I guess he'll have a better relationship with the Latinx Hispanic players. I don't think anyone's getting real excited about this move, which might be a good thing to have lowered expectations and to not get crazy, like, and understand, like, I don't think the expectations are high. I think there are a lot of people that think this is on par with the Luis Rojas hire, like a guy that's quote unquote good with players, but has never been a manager before, big league manager before. What were the takeaways? I don't know. I forget. Where's the bookmarks? Gotta find this shit. Yankees bench coach for 4 seasons, worked as an infield coach, even though he was an outfielder, managed in the Niners. I love that. Managing the Niners from 2009 to 2012. Spent a decade plus playing minor leagues in the minor leagues with the Giants and Yankees in independent league baseball. Managed minor league affiliates for the Yankees. Served as Yankees quality control infield coach, bench coach for the last four seasons. Someone said that he was the bad cop for Aaron Boone. Whether that means that Aaron Boone was the good cop and Mendoza was the bad cop. What's interesting is you're the bad cop, but you're also a players coach. It's interesting. I feel like those don't, right? That wasn't really the Venn diagram. I don't see them crisscrossing applesauce. The one thing that everyone's like hype about is that he throws 40 sunflower seeds behind home plate before each game for the 40 men on the roster and says a prayer. So at least we got that going for us. You know what? To be honest, I'll take it. Any kind of positive mojo, juju, vibes, whatever. Whatever you need to do. You need to kill a chicken, kill a chicken. Okay, you need to drink its blood, drink its blood. We just need to turn around. But yeah, you know, wild. Like, I don't know, dude. It's just like a no-name guy that kind of came out of left field. I don't know. Maybe I haven't been paying close enough attention. But, okay. Council goes to Cubs. Fought, I guess, was your second choice? Or was Mendoza your second choice? We'll see. I mean, you know, they did make a point that a lot of the managers of the playoff teams this year were first-year managers, first-time managers. So, not first year, first time. Or maybe a first year, I forget. Never managed before, and now they're managing a playoff team. So that made me feel a little bit better. And then, I think that his point was like, everyone hated Joe Torre getting hired, the Yankees hiring Joe Torre. Personally, I think KFC is a secret Yankees fan. So the fact that he knows so much about Yankees talk, it always like devolves to that. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. You know, I'm not holding out a lot of hope. I'm not having high expectations. But it will be interesting. But goddamn, I wanted Buck to win it. And then the last item was Steve Cohen is making the area around Citi Field a paradise, an oasis, if you will, a mecca, which is long overdue. Like, I haven't been to a game in a long time, but what I did like in the couple games that I went to was, Citi Field, the stadium itself is awesome, right? They have the McFadden's Bar, which I enjoyed thoroughly, right? But that was it. And now he's investing, I think he's going to invest something like $8 billion. in the surrounding area to make it like bars, restaurants, you know, just stuff, shit for people to do, possibly hotels. I don't know. More area for tailgating. Hell yeah, dude. I'm all for it. So that's going to be awesome when it's done, because I am like, I do hate Philly sports, but that area that they have, baseball stadium, football stadium, bar, restaurant, like there's so much activity going on in that area. Jealous, dude. You know, the ability to just like, you know, you can literally in October, you could go from an Eagles game to a Phillies game or just fucking hang out and party in the vicinity. I think that's just that's cool. So good on you, Steve Cohen. I think a lot of people have faith in Steve Cohen to see us through. And I'm not going to get like, you know, I guess I don't know. I don't see it on my timeline, but I guess people were pissed that Craig Counsell was not hired as manager. You know, the guy's asking to be the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. And it's like, I don't know. What have you really done? Like, the Brewers have been a playoff team for a while now under your leadership, but like, you haven't won a World Series. I don't know that you have that kind of weight or pull or clout. So I'm fine with not hiring Craig Counsell. It's not going to disrupt my day or my year. Mendoza is an interesting pick, though. And that's the pod, you know? So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching, even though literally no one is listening or watching at this point. It's just talking to myself. But thank you to anyone in the future who might stumble upon this and actually make it to this point. You're a rare breed. Pat yourself right on that tush of yours. And we'll talk to you next time. Next episode. Hold up.